I'm going to ask God to set aside everything I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Especially help me let go of all my old ideas so I can live in your truth. I think I should say, let me be willing to let go of all my old ideas so I can live on your truth. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and mercy on me. Help me to glorify you today by carrying your message. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're doing steps 6 and 7 and the steps we took, and I really think that this is the best stuff that I've read or understand on 6 and 7. I still remember the first time I listened to Joe and Charlie, I don't know how many years ago, 15, 16, 17 years ago, and they did step 6 and 7, and they do it in 13 minutes or 15 minutes, and I thought of trying to find my Bluetooth and playing it today, and I don't know. I didn't. So anyway, but when I listened to that, I realized that I'd missed the program, and I'd misunderstood. I'd realized that when I got up to step 6, and they talk about, you know, what's involved in the step 3 decision. They go through the book. But the big book only has 2 paragraphs on 6 and 7. The first one is on step 6, making you, asking God to make you willing. And then after you're willing, humbly asking him to remove any defects that are objectionable and block us from him. And it's just 2 paragraphs. And I think it's because the people in early AA lived 6 and 7. They had these little cards they carried around where they would, on one side they would check off if they had any character defects that day, and then they would check off if they practiced the characteristics of God, and then they would go over them. They did that pretty regularly, and he does a discussion of it in the 12 and 12, but it's a very nice essay, but I don't know. It's a lot of theory on step 6 and 7. But this is very practical stuff here in Joe and Charlie. And the thing I remembered is you are what you practice. And if you're not willing to give something up, nothing's going to change. And so he says, change is the name of the game. And everyone thinks change is based on what you're going to get, right? But change has a lot to do with what you're willing to get rid of. Like a hot air balloon that goes up when you throw the sand out of it. A lot of people don't want to throw the sand out. They want to keep the sand and still go up. And isn't that true in AA? Have you ever tried to work with new people? They want their balloon to go up, but they want to keep the sand, and in fact, they keep adding sand. And until we're willing to let go absolutely of everything, nothing's going to change, remember? There is God. There's one who's all-powerful. There is God. May you find him now. Abandon yourselves completely to him. Everything. And so I wrote here, what am I not willing to give up today? And whatever I'm not willing to give up today will cause me to be disturbed, because I will hold on to some old idea or some character defect. And now I feel bad about them, so I want to let them go. But some of them keep coming back. And I think they come back to remind me how much I need to keep doing it and how much better I feel when I do it. It says God disciplines us in this fashion on page 88. At the end of the instructions on the action steps, it says this is how God disciplines us. And he disciplines me because I don't feel good when I'm practicing my character. Anybody else have that problem? And I bring up the examples of my like impatience and intolerance, and I do it so that people understand, one, I'm not perfect, two, I laugh at myself now when I start getting impatient, or intolerant. I complained Wednesday that I didn't get the lab report, remember? But he had actually pushed the button, but the computer didn't give it to me till the next morning. So you see, I was glad that I relaxed and laughed at myself because I didn't really need it that day anyway. But is anybody else like that? If you want something to happen, it doesn't happen, then we start to get a little irritated, and then realize, well, hello, we're not the center of the world. And like judgment, anybody judge here? And when I start to judge, I realize, well, that's silly. We're all children of God, and they all have their personalities. And why should I be disturbed on what I think somebody else is doing or being? And so I laugh at myself now. I think the ability to laugh at yourself is a great gift. The ability to laugh at your character defects, because they're not going away. Sorry. And so I said, am I willing to get rid of resentment? Are you willing to be rid of fear? Are you willing to be free of anger? I should ask people. Do you want to get rid of shame and guilt? Wouldn't that be great? Do I want to get rid of the bondage of self? Think about it. And then how do we learn what areas of life we're in bondage to? Anybody remember? We do an exercise. It's called the second step proposition exercise, where we ask ourselves the question, where in my life is God everything and I'm nothing? And where in my life am I everything and God's nothing? And the area of my life where I'm everything, then I'm going to have fear, or I'm going to be disturbed if things don't go quite like I like. And so on the next page, he says something very simply that's so well said. It says, all the change that comes through God working, the change that comes through God working in my life is by, actually it's on your same page, it's my next page, page 80, I'm a mess, 89, I'm a mess. All the change that comes about through God working in my life is by my consent, my permission. So God's there ready to work, but I have to give my consent and I have to permit it. See the power we have to block ourselves from God. That's all that's saying. That I, to get God to run my life, I have to give him my consent and my permission to change it. And all the growth that happens through my will and my consent. So do you want to grow? Do you want to change? We have to make a decision to do that, right? And that's step three. And we have to become ready and willing. And that's a process and continued prayer. And we can see it building to the point of change. Now, 6 and 7 are called the pinnacle of the program. And they, in the 12 of 12, he says, the steps that separate the men from the boys or the women from the girls. These are the steps of change. And they're not given much emphasis at meetings. People don't talk about steps 6 and 7 a lot at discussion meetings because I think many of them haven't done steps 4 and 5 yet. And when I talk to people who've come out of treatment who've done step 4 and 5, I ask them what they've learned. And have they learned that to change, they have to practice a different personality? Have they seen the result of their character and their thinking? And if they haven't done that, they need to do this. And that's why I believe in the way the book lays it out very simply. Pinnacle of the program. And if we look back at the other steps and see how they work, we could see that we took them. And the reason we did steps 1 through 5 is to be able to do 6 and 7. Because 6 and 7 are steps I do all the time. I have to do them all the time. I can't do them when I want to. I have to do them all the time. And how do I know when I need to do them? I'm disturbed. Something's bothering me. Something's irritating me. Something's on my mind. Some fear, some stupid thought. And that's where the changes can really begin. So I wrote 1 through 5. The purpose gives me the information, tools, and willingness to do 6 and 7. I've learned that I don't want to be a selfish, self-centered, dishonest, inconsiderate, fearful human being anymore. It didn't work. It's never going to work. And so the opposite of that is, if you haven't done steps 1 through 5, there's no way you can change. And if you do 6 and 7, you can't have any really peace with God every day. How can you have peace with God when you're separated from Him and disturbed? And so it says, in step 1, we saw the problem. You'll be glad I'm not going to go through that again. In step 2, we saw the solution. Step 3, we made a decision. And in step 4, we had to go to work to identify the things in me that blocked us, not the things in them that blocked me. And in step 5, we re-examine those blocks, getting to the exact nature, which is the character defects, which is our spiritual checklist card that Scott made years ago, in the left and right hand side. And it's that simple. And you know, it's very easy for people to see that. I met with my minister about 6 weeks ago, and I showed him a card. And he looked at it and he said, "Oh, I go from the left and right hand side all day long, back and forth." It didn't take him long, it took him 5 minutes. Well, maybe because he's not an alcoholic. But we go back and forth, and we don't want to stay in our personality. I want the personality of God, because then I'll practice His character. And remember, it's what you be in AA that causes what you do. If you be loving, you're going to act loving. If you be angry and fearful, you're going to act that way. And so the characteristics of God are, you know, love, tolerance, patience, consideration, kindness, compassion, you know, LPTKCC, you can add others. And if you have those qualities and you be that, you'll act that way and your days will go better. Remember that speaker I heard who says, the only thing lacking in any situation is the love I don't bring into it. And that just made so much sense when I heard that. I said, wow.
Hector
also said something that I didn't like, but it's true. I shouldn't say anything unless it's kind, necessary, or true. And so I find myself, at least the last year or so, keep my mouth shut more. You know, I don't need to say that. It's not kind, necessary, or true. And then my life's better. So we're ready to start changing. So steps 1 through 5 put us in the decision for steps 6 and 7. And what are we doing really is we're going to practice a new way of thinking and acting. That's all we're going to do. Because the old way that I practiced didn't work. Now, he's going to get into this, but I want to tell you, I don't know about you, but I was very good at my personality defects. And I was very good at practicing them. Anybody else? I'm looking at Brian, I know he was. Oh yeah, Stu, I could see, Lyle. We were very good at judging and fear and getting angry and blaming everybody. And he says, sometimes getting self-awareness is painful. We've heard it said that the truth will make you free, but at first it will most likely make you miserable. And I don't know if that's true. I feel better knowing that I don't have to be that person anymore. But in the beginning, it can be painful. He says, step 6 is about willing to let go. They added that step of willingness because they think it's so important that without willingness, we're not going to humbly ask. And it says, after all, we've worked for years with the things in our lives that cause us problems. And I wrote, my personality when I came in here is what I practiced for years, and I was good at it. So I need a new personality, and I need to practice that. And my character defects have become my personality. And that was my problem. It says, remember, our problems are our own making. They arise out of ourselves. And we're an example of self-will run riot. Well, that's all they're saying. And we've made these things that we've worked at part of my life. We've worked at our character defects and built them into our personalities. And so we wear a pair of glasses every day that help us practice our character defects, because they're self-centered glasses. And what we're learning in AA is that we need to take our glasses off and put on the God-centered glasses all the time. And that's all 6 and 7 is. And how do you do that? It says that in the big book, did you know? It says take your self-centered glasses off and put your glasses on. Do you know where it says it? at the bottom of page 87. It says, when you're agitated, doubtful, pause and ask God for the right thought or action. And so the pausing is when I'm taking my glasses off and changing. And that's really the serenity prayer, right? God, give me the serenity. God, change my glasses so I can see what I need to change and I can see what I need to accept, and give me the wisdom to do so. And there's no wisdom when I have my glasses on. There's just me. After discussing them further with someone else, we should now be willing to let go of them. You would hope so. But even if we're, and I've heard people say at meetings, it was in this room at that Sunday night meeting years ago, where somebody sat in the corner and read the two paragraphs on 6 and 7. He says, well, if I still have these character defects today, it's guess it's because God didn't think they're objectionable. I said, well, there's something wrong with that. I don't think that's the way the book was intended. You get it? So you could justify any character defects each day because, well, God didn't remove them. But remember, he has to have our consent and our permission. And we're supposed to pray for willingness, and I have to pray for willingness every day to let go of character defects. And sometimes I have to pray after I've practiced them. Has any of you done that? Say, wow, wish I hadn't done that. Wish I hadn't said that. Why did I get disturbed for 2 minutes? It was so stupid. But I can see, I mean, I'm really far from perfect. Just call my wife. But I'm a much better than I used to be. And I stop myself a lot quicker. And in fact, I wish I had been where I am today 12 years ago or 15 years ago. Work would have gone better. See, I thought work would have gone better if they would have changed more. David's shaking his head. But work would have gone better if I practiced 6 and 7 better. But I did the best I could at the time. Remember, this is a process. We have progress, not perfection. But we aren't ready to let go of some of our character defects. Step 6 is getting the willingness to let go of them. You know how you become willing to let go of them? You keep practicing and you see the results. You say, wow, did that again. That was stupid. And once we're willing, we ask God to remove them in step 7. So he makes the point 6 and 7 are companion steps. They're not steps you take one after another. And they're not steps that you read about or you take and then you move on. If you don't make this a daily part of your spiritual day, nothing's going to change. Because at night, when we inventory at night, we're really inventorying how well we did 6 and 7. And the instructions on step 10 is to do 6 and 7. It says, we watch for selfishness, anxiety, resentment, fear. Okay, here they're coming. We ask God at once to remove them. You're watching and you have them remove them. You give them your consent and permission. Okay, God, take it away. What happens if you don't do that? Well, then you get disturbed. And it says there's steps we take beside each other. That is, we may see our defects gradually over time, and we will use 6 and 7 as we see them, and we will become willing to let go of them and ask God to remove them. And how do I see them? How do I see the defects? I see them by living in the world of the Spirit with God and trying to get God centered when I wake up and pray and asking God to direct me during the day. And then I can see when I'm getting uneasy or I'm unsettled or I'm getting irritable. It's not complicated. Now, before, we used to get very uneasy, irritable, angry, fearful, and we drank. Did that work? No. Or we used? No, that didn't work. But now, when I see it coming up, I go right to God. Like Cindy said, I go right to God. Why? I don't want to practice that way anymore. And I feel better myself when I let go and I give it to God and he changes it. And I just say it simply, God, I have fear now. I don't want to be in fear. It's silly. Take it away. Let's move on, God. And it happens. When I'm angry, I say, God, free me from anger. It's silly. These people are just, it is what it is. And it just happens. Just a quick recital of that in your mind or out loud will change you. God doesn't require a lot to help you. And really, just willingness. There's been a lot of discussion about these steps, but they are simple, basic tools of change. They're based on one of the oldest laws of human nature. I love this. Whatever you practice, you become good at. Whether it's baseball, piano, or typing. And I hope the Chiefs are practicing their defense, their secondary, and their coverage schemes, because that disturbed me. I must admit, it disturbed me a little bit on Sunday, and I had to go to God, and I know it sounds silly. Well, you know what I do when something like that happens? I pretend it didn't happen, and I talk about how if I'm sitting in the chair, the only thing that can make me feel good or bad is the things I bring in my mind and my expectations. So I just say, well, it is what it is. I move on. I don't know. People probably turned off the podcast by now. So he talks about whatever you practice, like you can't be a good typist through theory. You have to practice. And once you practice those ideas, you own them. So the more you practice the characteristics of God, the better you get at it, and the quicker you are to practice that. And people can see the change in you before you can see it in yourself. But you can see it because you see the way you'll say, well, gee, I didn't react that way. Or I stopped right away and I saw it clearly. You can go out and sell it daily on the job because you own the skill. This is certainly, and the more you practice, the better the results and the better you feel. Do people feel better in sobriety in general? Do you feel like your life is better? It's because you're doing 6 and 7. You're not practicing the old personality. This is certainly the way we own our defects of character. We have accumulated them through years and years of practice. That's why people who don't want to do step 4 and 5, they're not going to make any progress. They won't be able to see it. They won't be able to see the truth, and they won't have the tools to be free of anger, free of fear, free of shame and guilt. They won't have a new relationship ideal, and they won't see that they have to change what they practice. We have drilled them into our personalities, and our personality is nothing but a pattern of mental habits we have accumulated and practiced and made into a pattern. See how great this is? It's so clear. It's so simple. This is the greatest thing, I think, Joe and Charlie, besides making the big book stay alive, but they made this step so clear. Each one of us has molded an individual personality this way. Not proud of the personality I had. You ever feel bad when you look back? Say, wow, why'd I do that? And he talks about it's unique, and we have particular mental habits we practice. And you see, the thing is, when we examine these things in step 4, I could see how they harmed me, and they harmed others. Remember, maybe we made decisions based on self that caused me to be in a position to be hurt and hurt others. And remember, we read at meetings, we didn't read it today, because, I don't know. But unless we let go of all of our old ideas, what's the result? Nil. And my old ideas is that my character defects were actually assets. I know that sounds crazy, but, you know, I was really good at judging people, and I needed to let them know what was wrong with them. That always made my life worse. And you can call it, we were, you get it? And the big book says it very nice. It says we were in conflict with everybody and everything. That sounds so nice, but what I call it, we were toxic people. We were toxic people. People didn't know how to deal with us. And we should be willing to change them because they're not bringing any returns to my life. In fact, they bring trouble. And then, like I said, trouble is my own making. It arises out of myself, and I'm an example of self will run riot. Remember that? And then I had the illusion that if I could just manage the world well, I would be happy and everything would be great. And that delusion stimulated my self-centeredness, and then that triggers all my character defects. See, remember, if your tree is planted in your soil, excuse me, not God's soil, all day long character defects are going to be triggered. And if your plant's treated in God's soil, then God's character is going to be all day. And so where's your tree planted? When you're angry and you think you're really disturbed, where's your tree? Is it planted in God's soil or your soil? Is God everything or nothing right at the moment? So the things we talk about in AA are the same simple things all the time. It's not very complicated. We're actually going to use the same process in changing that we've used in developing this. We're going to practice something different. Isn't that interesting? That's why people who can't seem to stay sober a lot and who've done the steps and all this, I ask them to carry a little notebook, notepad, and write down each day whatever bothers them. Was it the car in front of you on the way to work? Was it this person at work? Was it blah, blah, blah? So you can look, do a 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 all day long, and you can do it every day, and you can see it. And so it'll help you get God-centered. But I haven't had anybody really do it yet. But it's a good idea. I try to do it. I don't write it down, though. Maybe I should. But I can remember now, because I don't get disturbed that often, what it was. And then at night, I do that paragraph in my mind every night. You know, where was I selfish, decisive, considerate? What was I kind and loving to all? Where was I thinking about myself? What could I have done differently? You know, it's not that complicated. And it helps you get centered, because then you ask God's forgiveness and what corrective measures. And then you can go to sleep, and hopefully in the morning you say your prayer, God, direct my thinking. And then you start to do it again and see if you can do it better with God's help. And remember, 6 and 7 is about it's not about me doing it. It's about me not doing and letting God do, and then I can do the opposite. Without God, nothing's going to change. I won't be able to do it. Anybody tried to do better on their own before you came in here? Yeah. No, it didn't work. And it says now that Mom's calling you on your cell, by the way. There goes Zoom. They should be objectionable to us, the things that you've seen in 4 and 5. Objectionable to me. I have to see things as objective if I want to give my consent and permission for God to remove them. And if we didn't do steps in 4 and 5, we wouldn't be able to see it. We'd have no reason to change. And what I wrote here, we will still want to change them. People who still carry resentments and don't want to forgive, they still want them to change, and they still blame them, and that's enough to block you from God. Who have you not forgiven? Think about it. Is there anybody you would be afraid of seeing walk it through the door that you would not be willing to make amends to? You see, that's how you can see, because you don't want to have fear of people. Why do we mention that as one of the promises? Because that fear of people is because you haven't really forgiven them, and you haven't seen the truth of that in your life, and you're not willing to make amends to them. Why do we have 8 and 9? Why do we want to make amends to people? Because it sets us free. It has nothing to do with them. It has to do with us. The amends process sets me free, and it sets me free with the world. I get free with my mind in 4, 5, 6, and 7, and free with the world in 8, 9, and free with God in 1, 2, and 3. And then I do that every day in step 10. It's the power of these steps that makes our defects, our unproductive attitudes, objectionable. Anybody here have unproductive attitudes? And here's the thing, it's the power. There's some power in this action. It's not into thinking, it's into action. There's power in the action, and the power is God. It gets us closer to God. It makes us God conscious. It gives us a spiritual experience to me is when I stop getting disturbed. When I stand there and say, you know, I'm not going to get disturbed right now. This is silly. Anybody else have that? Now that, you may think that's true, but that is God. Because without that, without God, I wouldn't have been able to do that. That's why I make a big deal about living in the world of the Spirit, which is the real world with God, because then you got a chance. But if you're in your own self-centered world, you don't have a chance. You're just going to keep acting and doing the same things over and over. Once we see them as objectionable, we become ready to let them go. And then that's step six. And then step seven is, if we want to change, we want to practice something different to take the place of our defects and unprotective attitudes. We will change our personality. It has to be a minute-by-minute thing. This isn't something you think about in the morning. It's something you have to do all day long if you're awake. Now, that's why I say, what's the only trigger for an alcoholic? Being awake with a mind that's working. Now, if you're in a drug-induced coma in a respiratory ward, you're probably okay. But if you're not, but even then, we don't know what they're thinking. We don't know what's going on in the head. They just can't do anything about it. And so we change our personalities by use of this principle. If you want to change, you can't give in to the same old ideas produced by the same thought patterns in the same old mind of the same old personality. It's not going to work. And I keep emphasizing, I couldn't do that on my own. I always wanted to do better. I go to work and say, now you're not going to get angry today. You're not going to piss anybody off. You know, you're going to be, oh, Mr. Wonderful. And then by noon, you got 80 million things driving you crazy. And what I did at work that really worked, it took me a couple years, but I had that post in the hallway that I would hold when things became very chaotic. If you want to have a chaotic day, practice medical oncology, where nothing goes the way you want it. And it's always serious things happening. And I just would hold the pole. And then God would say, okay, Michael, go in this room and do that. Don't worry about what's going to happen at 1 o'clock or what happened at 9. You'll deal with that later. And that was really helpful to me. I didn't have to deal with every problem right at that time. I could go on to the thing I had to deal with right at the moment. And then when I would come back to that, God would give me a solution and would be able to make me, I don't know if that makes sense. But if you guys are working, you have stress, get a place that you can hold, or get your card that you can look at whenever anything's bothering you, pull it out of your pocket. And then my character is there because I practiced it. No one can brainwash us. No one can wipe out or remove those ideas from our minds because they're embedded there, but God can do it. But we can remove, and I'm going to start with this, we can remove any objectionable idea from our minds by overriding it with better ideas. And why? Because we're with God. So God changes me, but I have to see it and say, I don't want to do this anymore. And when I say I don't want to do this anymore, God will help me do the opposite. And God will help me see when it's happening too. That's the other advantage of being with God. God will help you see when you're separating from Him. But He'll let you get in the pigsty. And if you want, you see, God is a gentleman, people say, or whatever. He'll let us separate, but He will always take us back. And so that's what free will is. We have the free will to separate and screw up our lives. But I also have free will to turn to Him and have Him take care of me. So I'm going to end with that. I'm glad you guys came. Nobody, we had black ice out in the parking lot for those listening to podcasts. I'm an old geezer. I didn't think I'd make it in here. All right, thank you all for listening. Bye.